Welcome, everyone, to the Screamcast, episode 78. I am Sean DeRigger, and with me is BJ Colangelo.
Hi, friends.
Brad is in the film orgy, Texas film orgy known as Fantastic Fest.
So that bastard.
He's been there for how many days now? 4 days?
I'm surprised that he's alive still.
And it's like, I can tell when he's barely out of a movie, heading to another one, because I'll get his quick text and I'll try to reply, and then he won't get back to me until like 3 hours later. So
yep.
He's having a good time. He did tell me to buy the movie The Redeemer. Is it The Redeemer or The Redemption? The Redemption? Some German media
book.
He's
seen like 45 movies in the last 3 days.
That's the only time I heard from him. He told me to buy a movie. But yeah, he's up to like movie 25 or something like that.
I think it's something crazy.
Tally I saw.
And I'm so jealous. But I'm not bitter.
He's going to have some stories.
Maybe a little bitter.
Apparently he ran into Bria Grant and had drinks with Bria Grant.
Now I am jealous because I think that she's brilliant and wonderful.
He also,
if you out there have not seen The Real Housewives of Horror, you're doing yourselves a grave disservice. Please look it up. It's fucking hilarious. You can just find it on the World Wide Web, as they call it.
Yes.
Just Google Real Housewives of Horror, like Laura Ortiz from Holliston and The Hills of Eyes remake. She's in it. It's fucking great. It's so funny.
Awesome. She was a guest on our show a while back, one of our first guests.
Oh, yay.
We had like 3 weeks where we had all women guests. Tristan Risk, Bria Grant, and I'm having a brain blank on her name. Shoot.
We've done 70 plus episodes. It's hard to keep track of it all.
Jessica Cameron.
Okay.
He actually ran into Jessica Cameron as well.
I was going to say, yeah, she's there.
Mm-hmm. So I need to go there because I need to meet all these people I've talked to.
See, and that's the reason that I want to go to Fantastic Fest so bad, is because it's like a giant cornucopia of all the people that I only know through Twitter.
Right, exactly.
People that I consider, you know, closer friends to a lot of the people that I know in real life.
Yeah, these are all the people that I would rather hang out with, you know,
exactly.
on a weekly basis, daily basis. People I actually would want to meet and have drinks with, as opposed to here in suburbia, you're kind of forced to hang out with your neighbors. And they're all great, but they're not friggin' movie nerds. And
I mean, I don't hang out with my neighbors because they sell meth, and my other neighbors are a funeral home. So I would get arrested for hanging out with those neighbors.
We're in different demographics, I believe.
This is very true.
But yeah, so we're excited to hear from him. I'm hoping he makes it so I can put him on the back end of the show and have a Fantastic Fest roundup. I'm not sure if that'll happen or not. So we're going to play it by ear.
It probably won't happen until next week, and I'm excited that he's going to be talking about Fantastic Fest, which is kind of a celebration of all things new in the genre world. And this weekend, I am going to Cinema Wasteland in Strongsville, Ohio, which is kind of a celebration of 16mm film, sleaze cinema, drive-in cinema. You know, it's marketed as a horror convention, but it's so much more than that. There will be a reunion panel for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, all films to be celebrating. But Cinema Wasteland, I think, is one of the last true conventions, the way that they used to be. Like, every person who's there wants to be there, and the guests aren't, you know, big name guy who was on one big name network cable show. Like, they're people who have done this their entire lives, or somebody like, we were one of the last appearances that Robert Zadar had before he passed.
Oh, wow.
And you would have thought fucking Elvis was in town, because every single person in there knew who he was and like just worshipped him.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about Wasteland, is that you don't have to worry about, no offense, but you don't have to worry about the people who are only there because they want to meet Norman Reedus in The Walking Dead. Like, everyone who's there knows every obscure, weird full moon release that ever came out, and that's why they're there to go see him. So
nice.
It's really, really a great time if any of you are in the area and you want to say hi. If you're going to Wasteland, come say hi to me. I will have Screamcast favicards.
Yay.
That will be on the merch tables, and I'll be giving those out. If you would like a Screamcast favicard, please come find me.
I should have sent you some stickers.
I have some stickers. You sent me some, so I have some of those.
Well, just like a couple.
Well, that's fine. I'll leave those at the merch table
Damn
as well.
What day is it? Today's when's in my wasteland?
Friday.
I may be able to get some to you.
California is a 4-day transit to get to me. That's not happening. It's fine.
I will try, and if anything, you have some for next time.
Perfect.
And I forgot to send some with Brad to Fantastic Fest. I'm failing at the Screamcast thing, people.
You're the worst hype man. You're terrible.
Yeah. I mean, if my
Who's
life was...
Who's that guy who carried Diddy's umbrella? I need that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If my life was a little less crazy right now, once the 3-year-old, I think, is out of his insanity threes, and my wife can actually, like, hang out with the kids and not be a total stress case because he's driving us all up the wall, I'll be able to do more stuff. Next year, I'm hoping... I say this every year. I really hope to make it a Fantastic Fest next year. I think it's
That's
about
what
time.
That's what I'm shooting for as well. You know, I was going to go last year and then, cancer. So that kind of prevented some things from happening. And then, you know, fallout from that prevented me from going this year. So next year is kind of the ticket I'm hoping for, we'll see.
Brad and I were kind of talking today in the brief 2 minutes that he was available of possibly trying to do a live podcast.
Oh, that'd be
Fantastic
so fun.
Fest.
So, I would cry.
Oh,
I'd
my,
be so excited.
That would be super fun. Super fun. It'd be awesome. And I'm really going to try to make that work. So
That'd be awesome because I've met Brad in person and like he's, you know, hung out here in Ohio, but I have yet to meet you in person. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is that we really are in 3 different time zones. Well, Brad and I are in the same time zone, but we're nowhere near close to each other. But we're in 3 different states recording this podcast at, you know, 3 very different times of the day. Mm-hmm. And in the instance of you and I, like, I've never met you. Have you ever met Brad in person?
Nope.
So, like, that's
I've never
that's
met
crazy.
Brad. I've never met Brian Sauer in person. I've never met you in person. But we've all texted. And we all, like, we're all very much a part of each other's day. Which is
absolutely.
A very odd thing that this whole social media has created. Because... this is new, you know, this is totally new to me, because, I mean, Twitter's been around for how long? Like, it's been a while now, I think maybe... I was on Twitter maybe 5 years ago, and I've made friends and hung out with people through Twitter, and...
yeah, same,
which
absolutely.
Which is amazing, and...
I've gotten job offers because people have found me through Twitter, and that was their way of finding me, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
But we're on like crazy tangents.
That's
what
cool.
is on
I think that's going to be today's podcast. It's going to be a little more of less structured, which is fine. But yeah, let's get into what's on our doorstep.
Holy cow! I almost forgot.
We'll get the door.
I will let you go first, BJ.
All right, sure. So I am in the middle of a production of a musical right now. I'm doing Big Fish the Musical, and it's fucking awesome. But it's taking up all of my time. So I have not had the chance to really watch a lot of movies. Oh, and my TV blew up. That was fun. But it's been replaced.
Right, good. I was going to ask you about that. How's the TV situation?
It's glorious. I have a wonderful, amazing boyfriend who was like, you know what? Not only are we replacing the TV, but we're upgrading. So
there
we have
go.
A bigger TV. We
good
have a
man.
Sound bar. Like, I'm like an adult now, guys. It's some serious shit. But because I was without a TV, I really couldn't watch anything. But I did watch 2 things. The first thing I watched is a documentary on Netflix that has been staring me in the face, and I've never actually looked at the preview. I just have always been judging it by its cover. And it's called Tabloid. And Tabloid is the story of the Mormon in Chains sex scandal that happened in the 70s. Because, as we all know, I love my repressed cultures. I love my, like, repressed religion movies. So I was like, oh, okay, she was keeping a Mormon missionary as a sex slave. I am in. everything that I want in the world. But it was a really fascinating documentary about this woman and how, you know, no one really knows what happened. She was accused of kidnapping a Mormon missionary and keeping him as a sex slave. That was what Wow. he claimed and what, like, the tabloids just kind of ate up and turned into, like, this circus.
I mean, I think if you're a Mormon, that's kind of what you want to happen.
Well, what she claims is that, you know, they met, they, like, did some crazy sex stuff, and it was totally consensual, and then he had, like, a mental breakdown of, like, oh my God, God's not going to give me my own planet after right. I die, because Mormons are...
Yes.
Mormons who listen to the screencast.
Yeah, sorry, but... sorry guys. I have a cousin cousins who are Mormon, and he explained it to me.
Yep, and on God's giving them a planet. It's
my old podcast, okay. The AXPX podcast, I actually interview a Mormon for 2 hours.
I have nothing against Mormons at all. I just, like... I don't believe in any religion, so I think all of it is ridiculous. So I'm not specifically making fun of Mormons. I make fun of everybody. I think it's all fucking crazy. But, yeah, I guess that was what his defense or his belief was. So mm-hmm. then, you know, she went through this crazy trial. She did some time. And
wow, really?
The tabloids have kind of followed her. And, like, anytime she did anything, she, like, winds up right back in, like, the British tabloids. I guess one of her, like, she did, like, some experimental thing where, like, they cloned her dog. And, like, they successfully cloned her dog. It was, like, a scientific breakthrough. But instead it was, like, crazy former sex madam clones dog.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, she can't do anything now anymore without the tabloids in Britain kind of attacking her for it. So that was... a fascinating documentary.
Wow, I'm going to check that out. That sounds good.
Really liked it a lot. But then the other movie I watched is an indie film from the early 2000s called Beneath the Surface. And it was directed by a guy named Blake Riegel, written, directed, produced, and I believe edited by Blake Riegel as well. You guys might know him. He's been cranking out a lot of shorts recently. His most recent one is called Hugs with Hank, which stars AJ Bowen and Ed Ackerman. But this is Blake's, like, first feature film, and I'd never seen it. And I liked it way more than I probably should have. It is ultra low budget. It's, you know, it's kind of a weird, like, early 2000s, like, punk metal scene kid retelling of White Zombie.
Oh, okay.
It's just like it stars one of the early bass players for Atreyu, like, if that gives you an idea nice. Of like what we're working okay. with. But yeah, it's like, you know, this high school kid, you know, he's in love with his childhood sweetheart, some shit goes down and she dies, and because his neighbor's like some anthropologist into voodoo, he uses voodoo magic and of brings course. Her back to life. But it's a cute little movie. It's like, if you're looking for scares, you're not going to get it. But it does have some pretty interesting commentary on, I guess, just what it was like to be a teenager in the early 2000s. I think it was, he really nailed it. Dialogue's a little ham-fisted, but, you know, it was his first movie. But I really enjoyed it. I definitely would recommend it. It shows exactly what you can do with such a small budget. I think it only cost $4,000 total to make, which anytime anybody makes an entire film for under 10 grand, like, I'll watch it. Like, it sounds terrible, but I will, because I am fascinated to see how people can stretch that. And on that subject, I also saw a film called Invalid by Dustin Mills, who is, you know, full disclosure, he's a good friend of mine. I've been in some of his movies. You guys might know him from Easter Casket, Puppet Monster Massacre, Her Name is Torment, Night of the Tentacles. He's done a fuckload of, you know, little low-budget indie movies. But Invalid is kind of his insight into... I don't want to call it a giallo film, because it's not, but it, like, tiptoes that line into being kind of a giallo film, very much inspired by that sort of filmmaking style. And knowing Dustin the way I do, that movie couldn't have cost more than $2,000 to make. And there are moments in it that are absolutely breathtaking. Like, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of moments in it that you definitely see it, warts and all, because it's a movie made for $2,000 in the dude's house. But he's a very gifted storyteller. He knows exactly what he wants and how he wants it to look. It incorporates animation. It incorporates a lot of weird and crazy shit. But like, there are a couple moments where that feeling you got the first time when you saw House of the Devil and you're like, oh God, yeah, he just nailed that aesthetic. There's a couple of moments inside Invalid where you just watch it and you're like, oh my God, he got it. Where it feels kind of like the editor. You're like, right. Yeah, that's it. 100%. You got it. And it just, every time I watch his movies, I'm like, God, just somebody give him more money. For the love of God, just give him more money, because he could do incredible things. He's very much got that, you know, Astron 6 sort of mentality behind him of like, it doesn't matter how much money I have, I'm going to make it work. And he does. And it stars Brandon Salkill and Joni Durian, who are two kind of regulars in the Midwestern horror scene. And they're both, I think it's easily both of their best work. So if any of you out there are fans of like Henrik Coteau, his films, Joni's in a lot of his films, but yeah, this like Invalid is very, very strong. It's a very strong piece of filmmaking.
Very cool.
And yeah, that was on my doorstep. Plus, you know, some rewatches of Fright Night and Monster Squad, because fuck it, I can.
Of course. Those are, you know.
I don't know if you use 8-tracks, not like the actual thing of an 8-track, but
the app,
website.
The app. I tried it for a while and I didn't, you know.
You have to kind of figure out exactly what you're looking for. But I found one that was a combination of music from the Guest soundtrack and the Fright Night soundtrack, because the instrumentation between the two, like the scores, I guess I should say, are so similar. Like there's a song on the Guest soundtrack or score, and I can't remember what the title of it is, but it sounds like it was ripped straight from Fright Night. And I've written posts about why I think that David from the Guest and Jerry Dandridge are the same person, or like, you know, I don't think David's a vampire, but like that same archetype.
Right.
I think they're the same, exact same. So to see the music be so similar, I think it's fascinating. So I just put that playlist on at work the other day, and I honestly like zoned out and couldn't remember like which one belonged to which. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah, it's fun. I really like, you know, playing with the scores. If there's a movie you really like, there's so many playlists for It Follows right now where they'll incorporate disaster pieces score plus music that sounds very similar.
Okay.
So I've been able to find a lot of cool like underground artists that are in that same sort of vein. And that's the main reason that I use 8-tracks, is because every once in a while somebody would be like, oh, you like Carpenter Brut. Here's my one friend from Norway who does the same thing. It's like, I would never have heard this band if it wasn't for 8-Tracks.
I'll have to give 8-Tracks a try again.
It
was when this first came out, I gave it a try. But
it's really improved. I think the algorithm works a lot better. But yeah, you know, for every great playlist, there'll be 5 shitty ones because people have shitty taste in music.
Speaking of music, I stumbled across Dance with the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Brad may have mentioned them to me a while ago. He, of course, when I said, hey, discover this band, and he had to say that, oh, no, you know, I let you know about it, by the way. You know, he always has to do that, to remind me.
Well, that's what he's good for.
But pretty damn awesome. I was rocking, I think they have 4 or 5 albums. Just back-to-back, each album, pretty much all day today.
I'm falling into, like, this crazy black hole of, like, death metal, and just...
Yeah.
I don't know, there's so many different forms of metal, so I can't keep up with all of it, but my boyfriend worked a metal show, the Hell's Head Bash. He was the videographer for it, and he came home with just all of this new metal music, and it's just been all up in my brain.
Nice. Yeah, I went through that last 2 weeks. I was in a metal kind of
I think
thing.
I've listened to every EP, album, whatever that Midnight has ever put out. I just on rotation. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. That's great. Acid Witch. Let's go.
That's like, awesome.
It's been that for days.
I was just trying to find some of the albums I've been listening to. My wife, she's trying to build a, we share iTunes Music, and she's building a playlist for her running. So we got Keisha, Jennifer Lopez, Green Day, Blink-182. I'm like, crap.
She needs to put RuPaul's Sissy That Walk. It is the best fucking running jam ever.
I was going to sneak that into her running playlist,
Do it. Just sneak Sissy That Walk in there. She'll be like, what is this?
Hold on, what is it called?
I'm going to run Sissy That Walk by RuPaul. She's not going to know what hit her. She's going to keep going. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Drag queens make the best running music.
We are going to add this to playlist. Her half marathon playlist is added.
Perfect. Does your wife listen to the podcast? I don't even know.
Nope.
Probably not. Perfect.
Nope. Not at
all. So we can plot all sorts of shit. She'll never know.
Exactly. All right. What's on my doorstep? A lot of shit is on. I get so much per week of stuff that the piles of movies that I have are somewhat depressing. It's depressing how much I still have to get to, and I keep buying. But
are they taller than your children?
Yes.
Oh,
pretty much.
No.
Well, I mean, if I gathered them together, they would probably be taller than my oldest for sure.
Oh God.
Of unwatched movies, movies that are still in their wrappers. It's a sickness, people. This is a sickness. I did get Star Trek, the original series, for like $25 each, which is like the cheapest I've ever seen them.
Congratulations on that find.
I'm buying this purchase.
Happens.
I am a Star Trek fan, and I've been wanting to get the original series. But anyway, other than that, I did actually catch Cooties.
I'm so jealous. I still haven't seen it yet. I want to see it so bad.
It's video on demand right now. I believe it's limited release, I think. And some theaters are probably playing it. But I had some fun with it. I didn't love it like I wanted to love it. You know what I mean? But I think that's kind of what happens.
Do you think that comes with the expectation of, you know, going into it, you know that it's about kids, you know that it's about...
I don't think so. I think that's just kind of how it is. Horror comedies are hit or miss. I think this is one of the stronger horror comedies that I've seen in a while. Of course, starring Elijah Wood and Rainn Wilson. Elijah was great in it. I love his character. Rainn Wilson, I love him. I love his character as kind of the gym teacher, Midwestern gym teacher guys. It's great. I think and the idea is fantastic. The idea that at a middle school, the kids start turning into zombies. So all that is ripe for many things. I think there were a few jokes that they could have really stuck the landing on a little bit better. I think some... Which maybe this will play better with repeat viewings. Maybe the jokes will be a little, you would notice them a little more. But there's a CrossFit joke that's, when you think about it, it's hilarious. But there's so much more they could have done. And maybe they're trying to kind of keep things a little simpler, you know, let the jokes just keep on going.
Don't you do CrossFit?
I do not do CrossFit. I think CrossFit is ridiculous. And you don't need to go that crazy.
Well, so maybe that's why the joke.
I was like wanting to see
because you think that it's ridiculous.
I wanted to see some more. They could have gone so far with the CrossFit joke, because the whole thing about CrossFit is, you know, if you meet a CrossFitter, like they're like, you know, so what are you training for? I'm training for life, bro. Training for every day.
There's a gym, like a CrossFit gym, that shares kind of the same building space as the gym where I teach baton and dance. And I took my girls outside so that they wouldn't have a ceiling. And just all these uppity white people trying to flip tires and shit. And I'm like, what is happening?
And it's mostly white people, isn't it?
It's all uppity white people.
Isn't it?
Because they have to be so fucking cool and do whatever the newest trend is, men's lifestyle.
I'm going to hit this...
Fuck off.
Tire with a giant mallet.
Like you did 10 years ago.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It's a little bit too aggressive for me. And the whole, like, because I'm doing the paleo thing, but then you read the CrossFit paleo stuff, and it's like, you were evolved to chase down your meal and hunt it and not eat between meals. You're not a grazer. You're a hunter. All this crap. I guess it's just too much.
I just need a t-shirt that says, I'm a hunter.
I'll eat some meat, and then, you know what, in between meals, maybe I want a handful of almonds, or maybe I want, I don't know, an apple, or...
How dare you?
A bag of chips.
What are you thinking? Why would you do that?
Where are we going here? Cooties. So, cooties,
I don't know.
For what it is, it's a lot of fun. I think some of it falls a little flat, but as overall, like, you know, having a kid zombie movie is super brave in of itself. I think they could have gone a little further instead of they hide some of the kills and stuff. I'm like, show some of these kids just exploding. You know what I mean? Like, you know, show a grown adult smashing a zombie kid's head in. Instead
oh, hell
of
yeah.
hiding, you know, instead of having it happen behind something, like get a
it's
little
weird that
braver.
That's still
you know?
So taboo. And I mean, I understand why it's taboo. Like, I personally, you know, my heart stops when Gage's
right.
shoe goes across the road in Pet Sematary.
Yes.
Like,
but
stuff
he's
like
not
that
a zombie
just gets
kid.
Me. Right.
So I think
that's the difference. That if you're doing a horror comedy and you're doing it with kids, fucking just. Show me it.
Go for
it. I'm already aware that this is not real life. So just
yeah.
fucking smash the kid's yeah. head in.
But it's still pretty brutal for what it is. The kids are great. I mean, it's it's one of those movies that I would have loved to visit the set during a day where they're filming all the kids. Because that had mm-hmm. to have been a blast for those kids.
Oh yeah, they must have loved it.
So, it's available right now on, video on demand. I'm going to pick this up when it comes on a Blu-ray for sure. But I think it'll be fun, to rewatch, but, it was good. It wasn't like blown away by it, but I did have fun with it. So I think that's
cool.
that's all that matters is if you have fun with it.
Cool.
I did watch, let's see, Space.
Oh. Right. Oh, the show?
Spaced Invaders. Not
oh,
Spaced.
Spaced Invaders.
About the, you know, the comedy about the aliens that come down. They think that they get a signal that the Martians are attacking Earth. They want to join in and conquer Earth, and it's Halloween.
So Pixels, but not bad.
It's still bad. It's still kind of bad, but I watched it with my kids, and the funny thing is, like,
it?
Well, you know, some movies are bad. You know that they're not good, and but I remember seeing this in the theater opening weekend. I think I was like 12 years old, so I dragged my parents to this movie. They had to have been rolling their eyes the whole way through. But I think Brad talked about this a couple shows back, but the effects are still are kind of cool. It's a zany, stupid little movie, but if you have kids, they're gonna eat it up and they'll have fun with it. And it's a Halloween movie too, so bonus, you know, bonus points there. So this might be a Halloween kind of bring this out for the kids every Halloween.
Yeah.
The black kid in the duck costume is amazing. I don't think he gets enough respect for this flick. Because he basically has to act 3/4 of the film behind a duck mask. And he's great. So, whoever that kid is, kudos to him. And then, finally, I finally got around to watching. Brad brought this up a couple weeks back. I can't keep up with him. He watches stuff right away too much. But Big Game, I checked out, and... I had a lot of fun with it. It reminded me of a 90s movie. Late 80s, early 90s. I got a big cliffhanger vibe, if cliffhanger was like a PG movie.
Okay.
It's, of course, directed by Jalamari Helander, who did Rare Exports, which is on my...
Oh, yes,
every
yes, yes.
Christmas
yeah,
I watch
he did talk
Rare
about
Exports.
This a couple shows ago.
Yeah, yep. But I finally watched it. It's super cheesy. It's exactly... I mean, if I was 13 years old watching this, I would love it. Because the 13-year-old kid, out on his own, saves the president from, like, terrorist guys. I mean, you know, what's not to like?
And I think that that's important, too, that you make that known that, like... this movie might not be geared towards you because I think
totally
all too often
geared. Yeah, preteen.
Yeah, all too often, you know, people watch a movie don't know, like fucking Ouija or Ouija, and be like, oh, it's shit, it's garbage. Okay, that may be true, but it's scaring the hell out of a bunch of 15-year-olds, so maybe you're just not their target demo anymore.
Right. Right, I have a feeling like I'll mention this next show when I finish watching Poltergeist remake, but we'll get into there. We'll get into that next time.
Yeah, I watched Accolades, that film he was talking about last week with Joel Edgerton, and it fucked me up, but I told him that I wouldn't discuss it until he could discuss it with
me.
Cool,
okay. So we'll hold some over for next week. I know that last week we had a couple things in the segments. We're going to hold those off till all three of us are together again.
Because Brad will get butthurt if we do it without him.
Totally will. Because he's the one that brought these movies up, so I really want to talk to him about those, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, that was what's on my doorstep. A lot more, and it's depressing. It's one of those things, I got so many movies, I almost want to just sell it all and just say, fuck it, sell it all and start over. Because
that's just crazy.
I just don't know where to start. I'm underwater here.
Yeah,
I'm in the weeds. If you were a server.
I have 300 plus VHS tapes that I have to get through, and it's going to kill me.
You just can't think about it. Just grab one off the top of the stack. What I need to do is prioritize my watching and get everything that I need to watch in one area, so I know that's my go-to area if I want to sit down and watch something.
So there you go.
I'm going to do that. That's going to be – this office will be basically the holding cell for movies I still need to watch. I just got to buy some shelving. If you have any deals on shelving, let me know. Drop me a line.
If any of you also have a deal on a combo player, a DVD, VHS player, I'm looking for that because that also blew up.
Nice.
I need to get a new one because my TV is now too smart for VHS, and I'm like, fuck, I need to find something.
It's ridiculous. But give me one second here. I think I heard my little guy screaming my name.
Oh no.
All right, we're clear. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, he can't do anything. We have this thing where we basically lock him in his room. Sounds worse than it is.
You're just keeping your child in a cage. I won't tell anyone.
Basically.
It's
no, it's made for children. They can open up. They can crack the door open, but they can't open it themselves. It's a child safety thing. I don't know. It came from Babies R Us. So judge me if you will.
I won't judge you.
Let's move into since it's just you and me. You brought it up that maybe we should have a topic. And as I was kind of thinking of like, oh shit, what the hell can we talk about? I started seeing a couple people on social media because Green Inferno got a wide release through Blumhouse this last weekend, and I actually considered going to see it. I had a night off, and I was contemplating going to see Green Inferno, but then I read, then I was like, well, maybe on my Friday night I don't want to see some cannibalism and possible genitalia mutilation. So I declined. But then I saw people saying, like, if you didn't go see Green Inferno, you don't support true horror, and you're part of the problem if all we get is remakes and haunted house movies. So, of course I stayed out of all that. I did not respond. But that was kind of going around. A lot of people saying that you need to support a movie like Green Inferno to get original horror back into theaters. And I kind of disagreed with that a little bit.
Bit more blunt about it than you are.
Okay.
I'm going to call straight bullshit on that. Just straight bullshit. Because here's the thing. Going and seeing Green Inferno does not tell Hollywood, we want original horror films. It tells Hollywood, we want more cannibal films.
Yes, exactly.
Or we want more Eli Roth films. Because what happened when everybody saw Paranormal Activity, we didn't suddenly get a resurgence of original horror. We got a fuckload of found footage films that we're still dealing with. And you know what? Suck it. I don't care. there are remakes that are better than Green Inferno. The Poltergeist remake is a better film than the Green Inferno.
Oh, shit.
Like, I don't give a fuck. The Green Inferno is a terrible film. It's awful. It's awful. And this is coming from somebody who actually likes cannibal films. But I'm not going to give my money to a film that I don't believe in. And that doesn't mean that I'm against original horror. It means I'm against shitty cannibal films made by a director who fucking, you know, took advantage of, you know, these tribesmen. Like, I'm not cool with that shit. Like, and I'm not going to give that my money. And the same argument was going around when Kevin Smith's Tusk hit theaters.
Right.
And everyone was saying that if you don't go see Tusk, then that means you're telling Hollywood I want remakes. I went, no, it means I don't fucking want to give Kevin Smith my money, and I have no interest in seeing The Human Centipede with Justin Long as a walrus. Like, I don't care.
I actually kind of like Tusk a little bit.
And that's fine. You're entitled to like it, but me
it's
not liking
so
it
shit.
Or not wanting to see it doesn't mean that I don't support
right.
original horror. It
right.
means I don't want to fucking see Tusk.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing that's so frustrating is that when that whole thing went down and I was very vocal about how, like, no, fuck off, that doesn't mean I don't like original horror, I got doxxed. Like, some crazy fanboys were like, no, you can't speak about horror, woman. And I got doxxed. And then I had people calling my parents back in Chicago trying to find me.
Really?
Like, yes, because people are insane.
Were you on Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter.
Really? That sounds like a Facebook
yes.
thing.
Yes. Right? That's what I thought, too. But no, it was some fucking mouth breathers on Twitter who were super upset that I didn't want to see Tusk. But no, this whole idea of, I understand wanting to support original horror because we don't get it enough
right.
in the wide releases. I understand that. And that's why I drove 45 minutes to see The Guest. That's mm-hmm. why I saw It Follows probably 3 times in the theaters. That's why I saw Your Next 3 or 4 times in the theater. Because if I like it, I'm going to support it. But if I don't like it, I'm not giving it my money. Because
right.
I'm poor and I can't deal with that shit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, I have very limited time to make it out to the theater. I don't even see half the movies I want to see theatrically. I mean, I'm a huge nerd, so I wanted to, of course, go see Avengers Age of Ultron. And normally, before kids and everything, I'd be, you know, standing 2 hours in line, right, to see that movie. But
yeah.
I didn't even get to the theater to see that, even though the kids even wanted to see it. We didn't make it out to the theater, you know. And then, you know, Friday night, I had my wife had a girls' night and at our house. Kids are in bed. I had some free time. And I considered going out to the theater, but the movie I really wanted to see, Cicero, was
mm-hmm.
limited release. That's out this weekend. That wasn't playing near me, and time-wise, it didn't make sense for me to drive an hour to go see it and then come home. And then there's nothing else that really, you know, I wanted to see. So if I have limited time, I'm going to put money towards something that I really want to see instead of just, oh, I need to support the genre, so let me throw my money at this. You know, so I rented Cooties and I watched that. That was my Friday night.
And that's the thing. What you're doing is supporting original horror. You're
right.
giving your money to an original horror film. It may not be in the theater, yeah, but you're still doing it. And that you're using your money to send a message of, hey, this is what I like to see. Because if these movies come out, you know, on VOD or whatever, and they don't, like these remakes or haunted house movies or whatever, and they don't do well, then that sends the message, oh, that trend has died.
Mm-hmm.
Because original horror is never going to be a trend. Hollywood is not looking for that as a trend.
Well,
they're looking for monsters or haunted houses
yeah.
or zombies or whatever, and then they latch onto it, and then they make a crap load of them and oversaturate the market and piss everybody off.
Well, I mean, look at what happened in the 80s with the slashers. I mean, that's the slashers and zombie movies are a prime example. And then, of course, now you have the haunted house movies and stuff like that. But if you look back at, like, the history of horror and theatrical horror, right? Like, not some grindhouse, not some scummy grindhouse theater on, like, you know, wherever street and wherever.
On, like, 42nd
right?
Street, yeah.
But if you look at all the movies that really made waves, you know, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, you start counting all these up, the horror movies that really changed, that moved the genre forward, I mean, there's really not a whole lot. And those were kind of one-offs. Like, they kind of, you know, had it, were given a chance to be seen theatrical, and they hit, they stuck. They made a, you know, a cultural, like, milestone or whatever. But you can't force that to happen. You know, everyone wants to kind of, everyone thinks this is American Idol, right? You know, the more votes something gets, the better something's going to do, you know. But I don't see that happening in movies, you know, and it's not.
And that's a perfect way to think about it, because you even look at the films that do well or the films that don't do well. Like, you know, I wrote a piece about M. Night Shyamalan not that long ago that we, you know, we talked about it with him in regards to kids. But when you look at it by the numbers, he may have been making films that were universally panned, that were getting horrible reviews by both audiences and critics alike. But he was raking in millions of dollars, both, you know, domestic and internationally.
Yeah.
And that is why he gets to keep making movies, because he is proven that he will make you money back.
Yeah.
So if we go support Green Inferno, that's not saying, hey, original horror works. It's saying, hey, people like Eli Roth and or people like Cannibal Films. And then, you know, they're looking for something to replace found footage. Because
right.
A lot of us look back at the 80s with a sense of nostalgia and a sense of, you know, I think we over-glamorize all of that. They're like, oh, it was the golden age of slashers. There were so many of them. Well, 30 years from now, people that are kids now are going to talk about the found footage era of, you know, the 2010s and the aught-teens, whatever you want to call
yeah.
it. They're going to be talking about it the same way, because there are so many of them that are made. But it's hard for us to see that because we're living in the now and we're already annoyed by it. The same way that in the 80s, people who were living through it were fucking annoyed by how many slasher films they were.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the vicious cycle. Yeah, I mean, look at the parodies of the slashers. You know, they were already, you know, Slaughter High, they were already sick of slashers in 81.
Exactly. You know? And we're already starting to get these found footage parodies with things like A Haunted House with, the Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
And we're seeing those things all the time. So, yeah, Hollywood knows that shit's dying out, and they're looking for, like, what's hot, what's next. And if we give all of our money to Green Inferno, like, that means we're going to get a bunch of fucking cannibal films.
Yeah.
And I'm personally not against a bunch of cannibal films. But having already seen Green Inferno, I can't in good conscience tell somebody, go spend, you know, your $20 for a movie ticket and $50 for fucking popcorn. Like, go spend all this money for a film that's not good. I want to support good films regardless if it's original or not. Like, I have such high hopes for the Leatherface prequel that's coming out because I trust the people that are behind it. It's
yeah.
directed by the people who made Inside. It's written by Seth Sherwood, who's, you know, fucking brilliant. So, yeah, that's a film that I'm going to support and I'm
yeah.
going to give my money to. Eli Roth and Green Inferno with fucking Twitter handles in the credits? No, thank you. I have no interest.
Did they really do that?
Yes. So
I'll end up watching Green Inferno when it comes out to rent. I'll rent it and I'll just to, you know, for my own knowledge and whatever, I'll give it a shot. But I'm not going to head out to the theater and have some popcorn and you know what I mean? And make a night
right.
of it.
Right. And I know that there are plenty of people who love the film. That's
yeah.
cool. Like, I'm glad you love it. You know, promote it. Be excited about it. But don't try to make me feel like a shitty person because I don't want to support that film. Like, who gives a shit? Like, do you want to know what I saw last weekend? I saw The Intern with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. Why? Because I wanted to see it because
yeah.
I wanted to see, you know, Robert De Niro in a feminist film. That's what I wanted to give money to because I want more of that. I want more, you know, positive female, you know, roles in cinema. So that's what I gave my money to this weekend. I did not give it to Eli Roth making cannibal films and taking advantage of Native peoples.
Mm.
Period. Like,
well, I just don't like the whole mob mentality of, so you need to support the, like, the horror genre is the only one that I've seen that has this kind of mob mentality where everyone starts ganging up on everyone who didn't get a chance to see it or whatever. Like, I haven't seen, you know, we were talking earlier about, like, you know, the CrossFit and this aggressive type, you know, type
yeah,
stance on
I don't,
things.
I don't understand it either.
That doesn't benefit anybody.
Just like what you like and don't shit on other people if they don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, I would never shit on somebody for liking Green Inferno, because that's their choice. I will shit on you if you try to make me feel like I'm the asshole for not liking it.
Right.
Like, fuck off. Like, get over it. We're not going to agree on everything. We're not going to like all the same things. And it's not your job to be the fucking Green Inferno Roth police. Like, I don't understand that mentality behind it. And the fact that it's not that simple. Like, every single person in America could go see that film right this second. And that doesn't mean that Hollywood's going to start banging down doors looking for original horror. Because, quite frankly, it's not original horror. It's an homage to the cannibal films of yesteryear, made by a director who already has an established name and an established audience. There's nothing fucking original about this. So to say, oh, it's an original piece, no, it's really not.
No, it's an homage film. I do got to give a tip of the hat to Blumhouse, who saw the demand for this film. And,
well, because Jason Blum is so smart. Yeah, he's one of the smartest businessmen out there, and he's got an incredible team behind him. And yeah, it is a smart move, because it is going to make money, because it's Eli Roth.
Yeah.
And he could shit in a bag and people would jerk off and show up to it. Like, I don't understand the appeal. I'm not an
Eli Roth fan either. I don't, I haven't even watched.
It's not that I'm not a fan. Like, I'm not like against him personally.
I'm just not
worshiping at the altar of Eli Roth the way some people are.
Yeah.
And that's like, you're allowed to have crazy fan bases. Like the people who are super into Joss Whedon, or the people who are like really into James Wan. Or, you know, James Gunn, for that matter. I get it. Like, I understand it. I get the appeal of Eli Roth. It's cool that, you know, the hot guy who was super into horror films and, like, weird metal in your algebra class is now doing something cool. I get it. I understand the appeal. It's not for me.
Well, I think he's also, as in interview, Eli Roth is, he has charisma, and I think people are drawn to that.
I
like hearing him in interviews. I love his commentary.
He feels like he's one of us that did something.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's what people like, because he's relatable, because the one thing I would never take from him is the man does know his shit.
Yeah.
He just doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, know how to execute the shit that he knows.
Right.
I think he's very, very smart. I think that he just needs to pull his head out of his ass. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, he's one of those. He's one of those directors. I think he could do something great. I think, and that I was actually hoping Green Inferno would be a surprise.
Oh, so was I.
You know, and like I said, I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on it. But I mean, I haven't even seen Hostel or Hostel 2, and I have them in my collection.
I watched all three of the Hostel films in one sitting.
Oh God,
that was an adventure.
Did he produce Aftershock? He produced it, right? He's in it. But if everyone says that that's an Eli Roth film, it's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
He didn't write it either, right?
I don't remember if he
wrote it.
It
has a very Eli Roth, you know, we were talking about bro horror.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, he is the frat king president of bro horror.
But Aftershock, I liked about 60% of it. I
hated every word that came out of their mouth, because it sounded so unnatural.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Like, I'm trying really hard to be the male Diablo Cody.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Just bad.
I think I like... Once shit goes down, I think it's executed well. I think it's... Aftershock kind of has that weird rape scene. Without that scene, I think it'd be a great disaster. A mostly pretty good disaster film, you know? And the gore is pretty good. The scene where they're the tram thing that's going up the mountain, like, that's, you know,
you see,
that's some dead shit.
Like, and I really try to, you know, put aside my personal biases whenever I watch a film. Like, I personally can watch Roman Polanski films before the incident,
right,
and not really feel guilt. But anything after that, like, I have chosen not to watch.
I haven't seen any of his new stuff. I'm just like, you know, this guy is a freaking.
I can't do it. I think that it's morally kind of disgusting.
Yeah,
but like, I'm not gonna hold like Rosemary's Baby against him, because it happened before. That's like saying, you know, oh, you got a DUI in college. We're taking away your fifth grade science fair medal. It's like, no, that's not how that works. But
I think it's a little bit harder with Bill Cosby, though. Right? That's a little bit more of a...
Well, because that was a continuing thing. Like, that just happened throughout the whole thing. So, yeah, everything is null and void at this point. But with Eli Roth, it's really hard for me to kind of get past the whole, like, chick vision kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Chick vision. I've heard someone talking about it. What
chick
movie
vision,
is that in?
Chick vision was a special feature for Cabin Fever where it would play the film, but then it would... over the screen, it would appear as if, like, you were covering your eyes trying to watch the film, giving the impression that, like...
God, girls just go scared.
Girls are scared. Like, you could have called it, you know, like, wimp vision.
Right, or, right, like, yeah, yeah. But that's a very bro-ish
vision.
Thing, like...
But instead, he genderized it. And, like, that... Because I know that, like, that's the mentality he has... towards women before he even makes a film, like, I can't get behind, like, I can't listen, I have no respect for anything that he says, or any of his female characters. So that's, I think, one of the other reasons that Green Inferno bothers me so much and why I don't want to give him money, because I would much rather give all my money to, I don't fucking even know, like, there's so many female directors who I would much rather see be getting, you know, picked up by Blumhouse. But, you know, I can't hate on it. It's a smart business move. Yeah. It's going to make money.
I'm totally fine supporting horror any way that I can. I mean, I do a lot of VOD. What was that film you mentioned earlier? It's Ty West's,
House of the Devil.
House of the Devil. I kept wanting to say Here Comes the Devil. House of the Devil. I think I did that VOD when that first came out, and I did his next movie, The Innkeeper, VOD when that came out. I ended up buying both of those on Blu-ray when they came out. I mean, it's, you know, it's like those are the types of films that I want to see more of. You know, It Follows is a perfect example of a really great, original horror film, you know.
See, and
things
and
like
that's
that
the
I
thing. Like that,
We Are Still Here.
That is, even, yeah, and like We Are Still Here as well. Like We Are Still Here and It Follows, those are two films that even if they weren't as great as they are, because I think they're both fantastic films, I would still encourage people to see that because, in my opinion, that is genuine, independent, original cinema. Neither of those directors have, you know, big, wide-name audiences. They're pretty popular within the genre. But, like, Eli Roth is the Bear Jew. Like, he has he has a fan base outside of just the horror circle, whereas, like, Ted Gagan, you know, a lot of us know him as, like, he's a publicity guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, we know him from publicity, and, like, bloggers all know him. But my mom doesn't know who the fuck he is, but she knows about his movie, and she wants to see it.
Right.
And, like, that's the kind of thing I would encourage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this whole mentality that, like, that you have to support everything is stupid. Right. And I get this argument always comes up with me in terms of, like, female directors, because there are so little of them, or, you know, directors that are people of color. You know, they'll be like, oh, you have to support it because, you know, they might not get another chance. And to some extent, I understand that. But at the same time, I would much rather spend my time trying to seek out and find and discover quality films to encourage rather than just aimlessly, you know, supporting something because I feel like it's out of obligation.
I think those quality films will live on too. Like, just rattling off films that everyone should check out, like Cheap Thrills, you know, Starry Eyes, anything produced by Travis Stevens, basically.
Everything that man touches turns into fucking gold.
But movies like that, I think, maybe they didn't make a ton of money up front. I think everyone focuses too much on the weekend,
right, but they're gonna have,
the opening
they're
weekend
gonna have
dollars.
A shelf life.
Exactly.
That's going to be that's going to far surpass anything that Green Inferno ever does.
And like, I think that's more important.
No one's going to be talking about that movie 6 months from now, but I know people who are still discovering Cheap Thrills and Starry Eyes and anything in that sort of canon, and they're like, wow, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no shit, because it's good.
Plenty of original horror out there waiting to be discovered. You know, I mean, I don't think... I don't know. I mean, I just don't go to the theater that much. So for me, the theatrical experience isn't that important. I want to see a good film, you know, and I have a setup at my house to do it, to enjoy it. But You know, I want.
Right, and I think that that's a totally justified way to watch your film, and I think that it's also a very telling sign of the times. I think that the theatrical experience is still very, very important.
Yes.
I love going to the movies, but I also like the comfort of being able to watch things at home, because I think that cinema is evolving to the point where now there are films that I think are actually better to watch at home. I know I did a post about it for Icons of Fright a while ago, but I talked about a film like It Follows and how the theatrical experience of that really is captivating. Whereas a film like Honeymoon, which is meant to be very close-knit and very isolated and very claustrophobic in some ways, I think is more beneficial watching at home.
Yeah.
Like, because if you were to put that on a big screen, like you lose some of the effect because it's too big. But something like It Follows, where you have these big, wide shots of like open area with like a small focal point, like, yeah, that's something you want to see in the theater. Like, that's a theatrical experience. And then you'll have something like Digging Up the Marrow, which you can do either or. You can watch it at home because it's found footage and it works because it, you know, it feels like you're witnessing something in real time if it's like streaming off your laptop or off your TV or what have you. But then you also get that communal feeling of the jump scare and the tensity with the audience. So I think that it depends on the film. And to me, something like Green Inferno, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Yeah. I'll watch it.
It'll do fine. Yeah. It'll do fine. I think that you know, all these there's reviews where people are just grossed out and offended, and I think that's gonna, you know, that's
yeah. This, it'll get people
I think
talking.
Green Inferno's gonna do fine. It's gonna there's an article of Rolling Stone about how Eli Roth doesn't care if you hate his gory cannibal movie.
Making the jerk off motion,
quote
but
that
you can't
says,
see it.
You don't want people walking out. You want them running out of the theater screaming. I don't know if I agree with you. You kind of want them to stay and watch the movie.
Yeah. I mean, if I want somebody to leave, I want it to be because they're, like, so scared they can't handle it, not because they're, like, offended.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
that's,
I mean,
that's a problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think this will be a love it or hate it film, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know. I want to see it to be able to weigh in completely. I know there's some people who've loved it that I'm surprised that they loved it or liked it for what it was. But we'll see.
I mean,
I'll weigh in on it at some point. I commend him
for making a film that pays tribute to the films that, you know, so clearly inspire him, because that's something that people don't really get to do anymore. And he made this, and you can tell that he's passionate about what he does, and I really shouldn't shit on it as much as I do. But I think that I'm more angry about the idea that I'm a quote unquote bad horror fan.
Right.
Because I don't want to see
that
it.
Runs everyone the wrong
so
way.
Then like, yeah, it does. It like then it tarnishes the film for me because now I really don't want to
see
it.
I mean, that happens.
But too bad I already have.
You're right that it happened, of course, with the Kevin Smith movie, because the Kevin Smith diehard fans are like that, and then Eli Roth has his diehard fans like that too. And but you know, I mean, as far as Eli Roth goes, I don't want to. I'm fine with the guy. Whatever him. I you know, he's not someone I would go out for a
beer
with.
I just want an apology for Chick Vision.
There you go.
That's all I want.
If we can get that, we'll be good. I do like his on the Cannibal Pharaoh and the Cannibal Holocaust Blu-rays. He has a couple essays in those that are tributes to those that I think are really well
written.
Oh,
yeah. No, he... So, and the one thing that I will also give him credit for is that, you know, in the credits, he does cite all of the films that inspired The Green Inferno.
So hopefully this will help people...
To check it out. So the way I look at it is I treat it the same way as I would like a remake. I'm not going to sit and, you know, complain totally about the Poltergeist remake, because I know that there are people who sought out the original because of the remake.
Yeah.
And... you know, Green Inferno is going to bring new audiences to things that are like Cannibal Holocaust and Cannibal Ferox. And that's awesome.
Why don't
we
always say Pharaoh?
Because
wrong with me?
You look at it and it looks like it should have a French pronunciation, but it doesn't. That's what it is.
I don't know.
I think we have the general consensus.
I think Brad would disagree and don't feel sorry about it. I think Brad would disagree. He says he had tweeted at me, support all movies. So
no, not everything deserves to be supported. Stop giving everybody a participation.
I disagreed with
ribbon.
Kisses.
Yep.
But
Stop giving everybody a trophy.
I'm sure Brett will weigh in on this. The show may end right now. It may keep going with Brad doing a mini Fantastic Fest update.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I want to thank all of you guys for listening.
Absolutely.
Please check out our sponsors, Coffee Shop of Horrors.
Please
awesome.
Do. I binged.
Did you get your box?
Oh, yeah. I got my box. I had the werewolf one. What is it? Bubba something that's like spiced bourbon. Holy balls. It was so good.
It's good. The one I want to try, it's dark in here, so I can't see. Dang it. Anyway, there's one that
Coffee
I haven't
Shop of
tried
Horrors
yet.
Is genuinely delicious.
So good. Like, I have them every morning. And this, like... People are like, oh, they're your sponsors. Like, look, they give us a few samples of some coffee. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I buy their coffee every month. I put in an order, and they're
it's good.
I drink
shit.
Them all the time, every morning. I even have at work. I have a hand grinder where I'm walking down the towards the break room grinding my coffee. People look at me like I'm crazy, but
I gifted the zombie AA via Zimbabwe. I gifted it to one of my coworkers for National Coffee Day, and they were like freaking out about it. They're like, "Oh, Zimbabwe coffee!"
Damn, there's National Coffee Day, wasn't
it? It's National
too late
Coffee
for me
Day
to drink
today.
Some coffee. Well, I drink enough coffee throughout the day. Every day is National Coffee Day for me.
True.
also, Grindhouse. excuse me, GrindhouseVideo.com. Check him out. Give him some love. You can find the screamcast.com/sponsors. You can find the codes to type in to get like a 10% discount for our sponsors. And so check all that out. We also want to thank oneofus.net for posting the show each week, as well as nerdly.co.uk. And if I'm leaving anyone else out, I will get you guys next week. So don't
fantastic.
Be sad. All of you guys have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you next time.
Come see me at Cinema Wasteland.
Yes. And check us out on Twitter. No, it's just Scream_cast. God damn.
You're so bad at reading.
If you do like Screamcast for just like straight with no underscore, it's just one tweet and it says penis. I have no idea. I have no idea who did that. But it's
I'm
amazing.
I'm really upset that it wasn't one of us.
I when I was setting up the Twitter account, it was already taken, and that was it. I was like, damn it. I was like, how do I get a hold of this
guy? That's so
amazing.
Good.
If you own that Twitter handle, let us know.
We don't want it. We already established, but I just want to know why.
Well,
why
yeah,
just
wanna...
singular penis? What is this deep message you're trying to tell?
There's something there that maybe we're not enlightened enough to know to get it.
Apparently not.
All right. Anyway, that's my totally overkill goodbye. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.